I remember seeing a cartoon script that went something like this. The first picture featured a small jet flying overhead, and a man in a Lamborghini had this thought bubble: I wish I had a private jet. Next to that was a man in a car who looked at the guy in the Lamborghini and said, I wish I had a sports car. Then next to that guy, he had someone who was on a bike hauling groceries in his basket and saying, oh, I wish I had a car. Then you got the guy who was hauling groceries on foot saying, I wish I had a bike. And you got a guy in a wheelchair looking at the guy who was walking and said, I wish I could walk. It seems that no matter how much we have, there is always something to be jealous about. St. James warns us in the second reading, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Where does jealousy come from? It arises from the desire of want. There's the belief that what is before me, what I see, what I perceive, is something that I know will help me, will be of good to me. And sometimes the intent is good. Sometimes we may look at a new vehicle and desire it, be jealous of it, because, well, we want to make sure that we get to our destination safely, that we get from point A to point B and make sure that our family doesn't suffer any harm or inconvenience. We may look at someone's garden and be jealous and may think, well, you know, I wish maybe I could grow more things in that garden. Or maybe we might think of a better job so that we might save our sanity. So these are examples in which we can look at things and be jealous, but then also have some kind of good intent. And some of it can completely be good when it's something that is pursued in the right ways. For example, if you see someone that has a very nice garden and you think to yourself, well, I wish I had that. But then you tell yourself, well, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get off on my rump and make sure I cultivate that garden. You know, I've been pretty lazy about it. Then that's good, right? That's not a bad form of jealousy. But we know that there are bad forms of jealousy. That's exactly what St. James is trying to prevent us from living in. That jealousy is something where we know it's bad when it does a number of things, any number of these things. You know, one would be, you know, if we throw ourselves a pity party. You know, maybe we look at a relationship that our friend has in her marriage, and you kind of lament the fact that your marriage is not the greatest, it's not as it ought to be. Or maybe perhaps you might find yourself not having the things that you had wanted, or other people you see that they have, and you begin to be angry with God. You know, God, why haven't you given me these things? Haven't I been faithful to you? Or maybe we desire these things in a very inordinate way, unreasonable way. That's when jealousy can be negative. That is to say, well, I want this new car because it's a great status symbol. It shows wealth, affluence. Maybe I want a bigger yard because I just want to make people jealous. Something always to be careful of and mindful of, that we keep those things in check, lest it might find itself degrading further into envy, where it seeks the destruction of the good that I cannot have. That's when people will say, you know, well, you have a nice new car, I don't, therefore I will destroy it so none of us can have something good. This comes about because of that attachment to created things. And the reason why it's easy for us to go after the created things more than it is to go after our relationship with God is because we see things that are immediate. We perceive things with our senses. And because of that immediate sense of, if I get this, then I get this, right? If I get a car, then I get happiness. Then it becomes that much easier for individuals to allow the object of their desire to become their master. So much so that it allows them, permits them to think of thoughts in which they will lie, they will steal, they will cheat, they will manipulate. All these things that are meant to obtain that without counting the cost. There will always be within us this desire for more, the need for more, because we have been made for more. Being made in the image and likeness of God, God has planted within our hearts this desire for God. And oftentimes we don't want to fulfill that desire because it's so much easier to look at the things that are in front of us or the advertisements that are popping up in our feed and say, that's what's going to bring me happiness. And it will for a while, and then it'll fade. It will go. Even those greater projects that we have, you know, such as things in the house. You know, once you have your deck, what are you thinking of, you know? Oh, I can upgrade my deck. I can make it even better. Oh, I can make it larger, can I? Desire doesn't seem to end. This is where it's so important that we recall the words of one of our patron saints in our family parishes, St. Augustine, who says, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Seeking God above all, trusting in Him, knowing that He will provide, that is the cure to this endless desire that we have in our heart. These created things, as good as they can be, as beneficial as they can be to helping others, if that desire is inordinate, if that desire is unreasonable, if it allows us to do things which we know we shouldn't do, then we know that that's not of the Lord. And in any case, really that desire, that longing, is ultimately fulfilled in God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Eventually, we want to get to the point where we join the psalmist who says in Psalm 27:4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the Lord's house all the days of my life. So whatever it is that we are currently pondering over, and we currently think that we need, that we might be fostering feelings of jealousy and maybe throwing ourselves a pity party, it's important that we bring that before the Lord and ask Him to purify that intention. Obviously, there are some things that, like I said, can be good and will benefit more than just our needs. But there are certainly other things in which maybe we've kind of lost ourselves in the process. We've allowed ourselves to compromise our values, our faith, our integrity, of who we are. That's when we know, I have followed something that is disordered. I have allowed this thing to rule over me. There's always something that you and I can wish for. Always something. That's the whole point of that cartoon script. Rather than giving it power to run our lives, to goad us and to be filled with self-pity or plan something nefarious, thank God for what you have. And not just the thing that we have that's considered, we consider, lesser, perhaps not as important, not as what we want. And not only to thank God for that, but really, ultimately, to thank God for who He is and what He gives to us. He who gives us His entire love, His entire life, as we are His children.